Time for a deep dive into the one issue that matters most in a capitalist democracy, money. This is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of the Maggie Dawn Show and the Patriotic Millionaires. Now, let's start talking money.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name's Maggie Dawn. I'm host of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Every 3 o'clock hour, we do a little segment called Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. Today, we're talking about the global supply chain with my very special guest, Peter Goodman. He is the New York Times global economics correspondent and the author of a new book called How the World Ran Out of Everything Inside the Global Supply Chain. Peter, before we went to the break, we were talking about the fact that workers seem to bear the brunt of the burden of producing this efficiency in the supply chain and the profit that inures to the benefit of shareholders and CEOs, especially in modern day CEO pay where it's mostly stock-based compensation. Just today, news came out that at one of the companies located in North Carolina, 6 workers died, allegedly because their CEO would not allow them to leave the manufacturing floor as the floodwaters were rising. This is an extreme example.
Yeah.
But is it really? Because during the time of COVID, we looked to workers to keep these goods moving at great potential risk to themselves and their families. These were the essential workers that kept our economy right, at least hanging on by a thread. How much are working people suffering? Are these unusual circumstances, or is this a regular thing where the workers that create these supply chain efficiencies are really the ones that bear the burden?
I mean, that's an extreme example, but it's certainly representative of the fact that, you know, I don't know who the CEO of that company is, but if that company is publicly traded, they're answerable to a board and to a broader investor class that's demanding the lowest possible costs, the greatest possible revenues, and any deviation, you know, even if the answer is, well, I was trying to do right by my employees, is an invitation to go, you know, look for their next job. I mean, in my book, I tell the story of a woman who was working at a slaughterhouse in Greeley, Colorado. This is a slaughterhouse run by JBS Foods, which is the world's largest meat packer, run by a couple of Brazilian brothers who literally spent time in prison for amassing through fraudulent means the credit needed to roll up lots of slaughterhouses, including in the United States. And this woman, Tin Ai, who was a refugee from Myanmar, her daughter was begging her not to go to this plant. It was early in the pandemic. It seemed like a potential super spreader situation. And the Trump administration had actually dropped an executive order calling workers in slaughterhouses essential workers. Now, this part of the story is probably familiar to people. Here's the part that wasn't familiar to anybody until we got hold of some documents that I lay out in the book. At the time that the Trump administration parroted the industry talking points to say, if women like Tin Ai don't keep laboring in dangerous conditions in these slaughterhouses, we are going to go hungry. The meatpacking industry was literally sitting on record volumes of frozen products, were exporting those products around the world. So basically, Tin Ai, who unfortunately was one of 4 workers who died in the first wave of the pandemic at the slaughterhouse, and I heard this story from her daughter cradling her then 18-month-old baby, looking at a picture of the grandmother, you know, he would never meet. She lost her life not to feed us, but to funnel monopoly profits to JBS Foods, one of 4 companies that controls 85% of the American beef supply. There's a lot of these sorts of stories in what we can call the supply chain of the American economy writ large. People are sacrificing supposedly for the benefit of consumers. Usually it's for the investor class.
Yeah, that's an incredibly poignant example. We know as well that very recently, of one of the two or three egg producers in the United States. They actually, one, culled the herd to keep egg prices artificially high, and then actually shipped eggs out of the United States to somewhere else. Again, right. Effectively engaging in price gouging and price manipulation. Same situation there. And that poor woman gave her life for it.
Right.
How do we make the supply chain more resilient? Can we do that, have an efficient supply chain, and compensate workers fairly?
Yeah, there are a bunch of things we need to do. One thing we need to do is have antitrust enforcement, serious antitrust enforcement. I mean, your example about the eggs gets at a point I get at through beef in my book. There's a lot of engineered scarcity in this economy where, oh, you know, there's a shock to the system, and just somehow by accident, the industry that's disrupted ends up making record profits. You know, usually disruption turns into record profits for an industry that's got a monopoly power. So we need antitrust enforcement. We should welcome labor mobilization as an opportunity for workers to get their piece of the action, which will benefit the rest of us because we'll be dealing with human beings who are more motivated to continue doing their jobs. You know, I tell the story of Henry Ford in the book. He's not somebody to be lionized. He was a racist, yes, and anti-Semite. He crushed organized labor, but he knew a thing or two about making products at scale. And he specifically, you know, he doubled the wages of his workers in 1914. Some people called him a communist. He said, no, I just want people showing up who are undistracted, who can do their jobs. And I know that any business that's premised on low wage labor is inherently unstable. So we need antitrust enforcement. We need corporate boards to do their jobs and look past short-term incentives and think about the long-term health of companies. And we need labor to get a piece of the action.
Folks, that is Peter Goodman, my special guest today on Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. He is the New York Times global economics correspondent, author of two great books, Davos Man, How the Billionaires Devoured the World, and his newest book, How the World Ran Out of Everything Inside the Global Supply Chain. Yeah, Henry Ford, a despicable human being, but his ideas about paying people well, not just enough, but well, echoed repeatedly on the Maggie and the Millionaires by a number of CEOs that have run numerous different companies very successfully. They say the key to success, long-term success, is that motivated, happy, focused workforce. And to do that, you must pay people well so that they can live with some dignity. Thank you so much, Peter. I'm going to be buying your book and nerding out to it. I hope all of you do as well. I'd love to talk to you again, Peter. When we come back, I'm going to be joined by 8th Congressional District candidate, Dr. Kristen Lierley. She's going to be joining the vice president today at a rally in Green Bay. Keep it locked here on the Civic Media Radio Network.